Hello, my name is Carol Mae Wittick. Welcome to Her Conversations, Tools for the Awakening Woman. Her is an acronym for Higher Energetic Resonance. This is the optimal state to embody in order to attract our highest desires. Who is the Awakening Woman? She's a woman who's seeking a greater possibility in her reality and looking for solutions. She knows being awakened is not a lofty ideal, but a necessity. If she can transform herself, she can change the world. Her conversations will introduce you to talented women who will speak to your spirituality, sensuality, soul. They'll share their stories and explain how they are in service to the world. So let their words and these conversations embolden and inspire you. This week on Her Conversations, I am speaking to Veronica Parker. She is a master healer, kundalini yoga teacher, meditation coach and author. As well as teaching yoga in the traditional setting, Veronica shares her gifts through her specially created online programs and guided meditation audios. During this episode, we talk about why she chose spirituality over religion, developing a connection with angels, and also the reason she wanted to begin her own podcast series. So as always, I begin each episode by asking my guests, HER is an acronym for Higher Energetic Resonance. When do you feel at your most HER?
I feel like I'm most HER a number of different times. One of them is definitely when I'm creating. Anytime I'm in that creative flow, be it, making something creative for dinner, for my family, or just doodling while I'm listening to mantra music, or writing, which is one of the things I love to do. Anytime I feel like I'm in that creation, the whole thing, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm most in the flow. I also feel like I'm in the flow when I'm connecting with my kids and when I'm in service, when I feel like I'm giving of myself, you know, for the benefit of someone else. I definitely feel that I'm HER.
Perfect. Thank you. And Veronica, you do a number of different things. You're a kundalini yoga teacher. You do meditation. You're a healer. And now you're recently joined the world as a podcaster as well. So have you always been into spirituality? Have you always been a yogi? Has this always been your interest? How did your life lead you into this work and into this world?
So I have a feeling I've been into spirituality for many different lifetimes. In this particular lifetime, I was raised under the Jewish religion, but I never found a direct and true connection to this energy that we call God or goddess, by going to synagogue and going to services. I felt like I was just craving something greater, something more. So I started seeking, I started looking, where can I find it? So I still wanted to, in the beginning, stay within the confines of, this is what my parents gave me. Let me start being loyal to that. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I started, exploring a little bit of Kabbalah, which is like the mystical side of, Judaism. Mm-hmm. And that's when sort of like my heart opened up, my mind opened up, and I was like, ooh, this is like really cool. I can start feeling a little bit more of a sense, of connection, and then also, almost like simultaneously, I had a cousin of mine that was visiting me from another country, and she did a hands-on Reiki healing session on me. And this was a cousin that, I really didn't have a lot of connection with. We weren't talking, or it was last time we had like been in the same room or connected was probably like 10 years prior. And so as she's doing the session for me, she starts like verbally telling me all kinds of messages and things that were coming through. And she literally blew my mind. Not only it felt so good on me, like in my body, but I was just like, how do you know all this? There's no way you, because I didn't even share that with anybody, but the way the information was coming through was just incredible. And I just had like this, after we were done with the session, I was like, I need to do this. I need to learn how to do this, but I was like, can we only do it in your country? She's from Israel. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, you can do it in America. You could do it anywhere you want, So this was like the it was like 1997, and we had like this big computer. I was living with my parents after graduating from college, and trying to kind of find my footing, you know, who am I, what am I going to do in my life? Mm-hmm. And the internet at the time was like the routing, like you literally hear the wheels turning. So I went on it, and I just found the master in New York City, you know, that was going to be teaching. So I just like dove in. I just did, all right, I'm going. And most people wait, you know, a year in between like Reiki 1, a year between 2 and 3. I did like 1, 2, and 3 and teacher training all within 1 week. So I was like, you know, turned upside down. I didn't know which end was up when I was finished with that.
That's fascinating. And how did your family take that you were going into the spiritual route? What was their reaction? Mm-hmm. What did you have to deal with in terms of you're going this way and you've always been part of the fold?
Well, my mom was pretty supportive, and I think you're very intuitive to ask me that question right away. My brother and my dad thought I was a witch. They were like, what is this thing you do? Like, you know, they would look at me like all crazy, you know. However, they would still come to me when they had a headache or their back was hurting, because they knew like what I was doing was helping them. Mm. And I think just feeling better helped them get over the, you know, quote unquote, like weirdness or woo-ness of what this is, you know.
Mm. And are they kind of better about it now, or, you know, you're still kind of the...
Oh my God. Since then, I mean, I've been training like 10 different healing modalities. You know, now I've been training Kundalini yoga. I wear the white turban. I'm like dressed all in white. It's kind of like, you know, first of all, I don't really care what they think anymore, which is a big thing. I think back then, you know, we're talking over like 20 years ago. I was like super young and super naive, like really getting attached to what people were thinking or saying. Now I am who I am with no apologies, really, because not to be like bitchy or mean. It's just because if I don't know, if it's something that's nurturing me and it's making me offer a service for someone else, you know, to help them feel better, then, you know, I just get non-attached to the judgment of others. But anyway, I think I broke them in. So they kind of have to be like, oh, all right, yeah, that's Veronica. That's what she does, you know?
Cool. No, the reason I ask you that is because I come from a religious background, myself, my upbringing, and my father was a pastor. So, you know, I couldn't be more centered in the church. But he passed when I was very young. So I didn't have obviously that complete restriction on me, but it's always interesting just knowing that I don't go to church all the time, or like hardly ever, unless there are certain occasions, you know, that I'll turn up. I still appreciate the music and everything like that. It's just certain things remind me why I'm not fully in the church, you know. I don't know if you saw, well, it was very long, Aretha Franklin's recent funeral or the homecoming that was televised. Yeah, there was a lot of it. So, and when the music was on, the music just reminded me of why I love the church. But when the preaching came on, I'm like, this is why I left. You know, it was like that kind of struggle between the two. So that's the reason why it came to me, because I kind of understand when you come from a strong religious setting, you know, what you may or may not have to deal with. How did Kundalini enter into your life? How did it find you?
Yeah, you know, it always finds us at the right and perfect time. So let's see. I started listening to the music of Sanatam Kaur. You know, she's a very famous Kundalini yoga artist, you know. And I just loved her music. I loved her voice, you know. It would always like really transport me into a whole other realm where any like tightness that I was feeling in my body would literally like just dissolve, you know. I would just feel so good listening to it. And it wasn't, and I mean, I was listening to the music and chanting the mantras probably for about 2.5 years. And I had no idea that there was like this thing called Kundalini yoga attached to the mantras or somewhat attached to it. So I actually went to Satnam Fest to go to a workshop that she was doing. And it was then that I was like, wait, there's like Kundalini yoga that you can do with this music. And I loved it. It really kicked my butt, to be honest with you, at first. The first yoga class that I did there, I forget who was teaching it, but we had to do something, you know, keeping the arms up. And it was like, it felt like it was like 45 minutes, even though probably it was only 11 minutes. And we hadn't gotten a lot of sleep the night before because the workshop that she was teaching included a 2.5 hour sadhana in the morning. And my friends and I were so excited to do this with her that we probably slept for only like 3 hours. It kicked my butt and I felt so good when I was done. Mm. And when I came back home, I don't know. It's like, I just had, again, the sense of like, oh, I feel like I need to like jump into this training, although I didn't know how I was going to do it, but yes.
It's amazing how it comes to you as well. Yeah. I just found a video on Guyam TV. I think that's how I found out. It was something that I'd heard of for a while. And then I did this half an hour class. I've been doing different yogas for quite a while, you know, and I'd been through Hatha and Iyengar. And then I kind of gone through my Bikram phase that everyone goes through. Mm-hmm. And then I did like a half an hour class online, and then it was just, and I did it just at home, you know, in front of the laptop. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that had finished, I was like, and it was with Guru Jagat as well that she'd done. It's like short class, and then I was like, what just happened? And I, then I was on Google, and that was it, about 2-3 years ago now. But that's how it found me. But it's interesting that you went in. I just did a half an hour thing because I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know how strenuous it was. But how brave of you to jump in, and the first thing that you do is like a sudden.
I know. I did the sadhana, which was just incredible. I literally felt like our drive home was 3.5 hours long. And I literally think like we were flying home. We were so like elevated, like we felt high just on like what the practice that we had done. And it totally changed my life.
Mm. And when did you do your teacher training?
I did my teacher training in New York City at Golden Bridge with Guru Mukh 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And have you been teaching steadily since? Or
yes, yeah. I have.
Where do you do your classes?
I do my classes. I live in Voorhees, New Jersey, and I do my classes weekly at a local yoga studio. It's called the Original Hot Yoga Center, and I also teach private classes one on one and with groups. I have a little studio in my home, and I also do them via Skype as well for people that can't come here in person.
That's great. And when it comes to building up your business, so, you know, you're a healer, you're doing the Kundalini. How did you start to do that? Because I know there are a lot of people that have a passion and want to turn it into a service. How do you start making your gifts pay you, and also take away the, sometimes there's an element of, I should be giving this away for free because it's so good. How do you get into the mentality that you have you're deserved to being paid for what you can do?
Yeah, that's a great question because personally I've been through all those stages of like, no, I can't charge for something that, you know, I am actually loving and I really want to help people with it. So it's definitely been a cycle for me. So I started, so I told you I did my Reiki training, and then probably right around the time that I had my first child, which was 15 and a half years ago, I got back into the whole Reiki thing. And I started doing a training that's called Integrated Energy Therapy. And it's working with the energy of the angels and also realizing the 9 different cellular memory areas in the body where we tend to store different emotions. Mm-hmm. And so the training is also like 3 different phases. You go through level 1, level 2, level 3, and then you can become a teacher of it. So it was, I believe, in level 2 where we did this visualization where you had to like cast a fishnet to different components of what you wanted to bring forth into your life. And it was really during that visualization that I realized like, A, doing healing is like part of my calling in life. And B, I need to start actually doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, so in the beginning when I started, what I did was do it for people that I knew without charging so that I would build my confidence up and I would like practice. So I did that for about 2 months. And then once I felt a little bit more safe and secure, like, okay, I kind of got this. I actually just started doing, you know, sessions in a little tiny room that I had in my basement at the time, you know, So I started doing sessions and having clients spread the word out. Of course, also simultaneously, I kept on getting pregnant and having more children. So it was like trying to do like the two things that I absolutely love. And I feel like they're my purpose in life, which is being a mom and also, you know, being a healer and helping people. And so from that point on, it just kept on building. And yeah, and I kept on feeling good about having this exchange of energy, which is what money really is. Energy is, you know, money is like energy and vibration, you know. So when someone actually pays you, they're giving you something so they can receive the gift that you're giving to them, whatever service you're sharing with them.
For sure. Can you talk a bit more about integrated energy healing?
Yes, absolutely. So this is a modality that was created by Stephen Thayer. And as I mentioned before, it is basically connecting with the energy of the angels in different parts of your body. So I'll give you a little more concrete example. So let's say that you're having like left shoulder pain, you know. So you might be thinking, you know, it's because I've been stressed out, or I've been like reaching high or holding things a certain way, you know, your pocketbook or whatever. But if we were to look a little bit further into what are other maybe emotional root causes of what could be causing you that pain, we would find out through IET or integrated energy therapy that it's actually the shoulders are places where we tend to store our shoulds. You know, so the left side of a body is a feminine side. So it's about receiving and being. So maybe you've been placing shoulds on yourself about I should be this or I shouldn't be this. I should be a good mom or I should be a better listener or I should be a better, you know, you fill in the blank. And so when we get to the root cause emotion of it, we can begin to release it by hitting trigger points. Physically, but also becoming more consciously aware of, oh, that's the emotion that I've been holding there. And so we help you release it. And with that, 99% of the time, the actual physical pain also lifts away.
That's interesting. Because recently, I'd say for the past week or so, I've had, it may or may not be that, but just like a kind of a right shoulder pain. You were talking about the left, weren't you? And it's just kind of, it's felt like, you know, sometimes if you've just kind of overextended it a little bit, it just kind of feels like I just should rest it, almost put my hand in a sling or something like that. I mean, I'm still doing my practice, but certain things after a while, I just have to slow down, especially when we're waving the arms in the air as well. What would it be, just out of interest?
Yeah, that's interesting. That was the other one. So the right one is about the shoulds about doing, you know, so I should do more podcast interviews, or I should, you know, wake up earlier in the morning to do my satna, or I should, you know, get more things done in a day. It's all like the masculine self, which is like very active, very doing. So ultimately, you know, whether it's your shoulders or your legs or everything, it's about like, you know, that coming into balance, coming to center and really, just balancing like the giving and the receiving, the masculine, the feminine. And so maybe, you know, ask yourself if any of that resonates with you. And again, it doesn't always have to be that. There's not always a black and white. There's a whole spectrum, you know, of color and different answers. But sometimes it's a good place to start.
Yeah. That's interesting. But I'm always a should be doing more kind of thing anyway. There's always like an element of there realizing that I'm doing a fair bit, but I think, you know, I've always been a could be doing more, should be doing more when, you know, I'm doing quite a bit already, you know, so lay off myself a little bit as well. And I saw that you do your breath blueprint program. Do you still provide that?
Right now, I have a wait list for it because it won't be going live until this winter.
Oh, okay. What is it that you're doing there?
That's something that just, you know, I mentioned angels, you know, with IET, and I've always felt like a really strong connection with angels, and I still do in my life. And I always like get these like messages and downloads and guidance that I received directly from messages, you know. And so this program was one of those things that just literally came through. The angels were showing me like wouldn't it be great if, like, you know, the word breath, you know, becomes an acronym for six different steps that we can take in our life to become more congruent with who we really are and begin to live a life that feels meaningful and fulfilled. And so the different letters are the acronym for the different steps that we basically go through in the program. And then the program basically has a portal where each of the steps, you know, I go through different Kundalini yoga breathing exercises, pranayama, because as you know, there's so many different ones and everyone helps you, you know, just get a little bit more connected with your truest self.
And that's an all online program, is that?
It's an all online program. And I like to also be involved, you know, intimately involved with the participants. And so that's the reason why I typically just run it live. And so we have weekly calls that we do as well, where we work through different, you know, limitations or struggles or things that are coming up for clearing as we move through the different phases of the program. So it's a 6-week program that we do online.
Great. Okay. And you say that you work with angels. Do you have a particular angel or angels that are your special connection?
That's a great question. And you know, it's such a hard question because that's almost like having you...
Choose one of your children.
Yeah, it's my favorite child. Or actually, also, it's the same like when I go in and teach a yoga class. I'm like, this is my favorite meditation. And this is my favorite meditation. And every time I show up, I say the same thing. Like, what? I'm like, it's really hard to choose. But anyway, so I have a couple that I work with all the time or really play with. I don't even like to use the word work. So one of them is Archangel Michael, who is the angel that can help you feel safe, remove fears that you might be experiencing. And the other angel that I love amongst many is Archangel Raphael, and he's the angel of healing. He's the angel that basically removes any sense of separation that we might be feeling, you know, feeling like we're not, like we're alone, like we're not connected and we're not one with this energy that is divinity.
And when did you begin to develop your relationship and your play with the angels? How did you know that it was something that was real to you and you could actually work with it?
That's another great question. I began connecting with angels shortly after I got married when we decided that we wanted to start having kids. So we started trying and it just wasn't happening fast enough for me. You know, it was like 3 months, which, you know, it's like I wanted to happen yesterday and I always knew I wanted to be a mom. And so I started just being, you know, started learning about angels. And at first it was a little weird again because of my Jewish background and my parents had never spoken to me about angels, so I didn't want to, like, you know, bring something that wasn't like kosher to the equation, you know. But the more I started learning about it, the more that I realized that angels have nothing to do with religion. They're really non-denominational beings that are just about love and light, you know, messengers of the divine. So when I felt that I couldn't get pregnant, I started getting like worried, like, oh my God, what if I can't be a mom and I can't have kids? I actually started writing a letter every single morning. That was like my practice every morning, like just writing a letter to the angel, just saying, this is how I'm feeling. So it was like I was pouring all my fears onto the paper and at the same time finishing the letter, just saying, please bring me a child. Please help me be a mom. Bring me a child. Help me be a mom. And so it was like 3 more months and I actually got pregnant with my son, who's 15 and a half now.
Perfect. And how would you express, say to somebody, this is a way that you can actually develop a relationship with angels? This is when you know that something is connected and you're actually starting to get a response from them, because it's intangible and a lot of it is whispers or signs or anything like that. How could you convey that to someone who's heard a lot about angels and just wants to really develop that relationship?
Yeah, so there's so many ways that you can do it. You know, the first one is to be playful about it. I think when we take it so seriously, like it has to be black or white or right or wrong, you know, when we go into that duality mind, then we become like so attached to having it to be one way. And, you know, we're living in a universe that's limitless. So there's so many ways that they can connect with you, and there's so many ways that they can share answers with you. So I think if in the beginning you just get to be really playful and just begin by perhaps asking for something that is not so important to you, meaning like it's not like a life or death decision. So you could just say, I remember one time just saying, okay, like show me a blue feather. Like this is what I asked them to do one time, because I was still in the doubting phase. Like I wasn't really sure. Are they real? Are they listening to me? You know? And I was like, okay, so show me a blue face. I wasn't attached as to how the blue feather was going to show up, but I just wanted it to show up. And I also wasn't attached to like, it has to happen the next half hour. I was giving myself a few days just to notice where is the blue feather coming into my path. So I kind of waited and waited, and you know, in my mind, I kind of had an idea of how the blue feather was going to show up, but the way that it showed up had nothing to do with the way that I was expecting. We had a beach house at the time, and my mom was coming to visit. So 3 days after I had asked for the blue feather, she came to visit, and she gave me a gift of placemats. And guess what was on the placemats?
What, blue feathers?
Yes.
Well, like peacock or something. Or just blue feathers on its own.
Blue feathers. That's what all the placemats had.
Don't you just love it when stuff like that happens?
Yes, totally love it. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Did you tell her, or did you just kind of keep it, chuckle to yourself?
I did tell her. I did tell her, because by then, you know, we were a little more in tune with, yes, I love angels, and I have little angel statues all over my house, and yeah, we're okay with it.
And I want to ask you about being a mother and bringing like a new souls into the world and being a guardian of them. How do you work with them in terms of developing their spirituality, and how do you kind of leave it to them to make their own path? Because obviously you came from a very religious background, but you know that it's possible for them to go a myriad of ways. How do you open the possibilities up for them?
Yes, so again, I've come through a big spectrum. You know, when I first got married, it was really important to me that we raised our kids under the Jewish faith. But since my husband is Catholic, we also wanted to make sure that we incorporated both traditions and raising our kids. So we would celebrate both Hanukkah and New Year, Hanukkah and Christmas, also like Easter and Passover, so that they would be exposed to, you know, the traditions that he grew up with and the ones that I grew up with. As we've moved through this spectrum, it became more important to me that my children have a direct connection with this energy that we call God, and that they know that whether you are in a church or in a synagogue or in a park or in the shower, you can always turn to this energy and just be like, you know, I need help, like just help me, or I just want to talk to you, or just want to connect with you. And for me, the easiest way has been with angels, because you know, in the beginning when I started with the angels, it was kind of like I was just doing it, but I wasn't sharing it with anyone. And then when I got a little bit more secure in the connection that I had with angels, and they started really appearing everywhere in my life, it's like everywhere I went, it was like all the little stores, I would see like little statues of angels, little sculptures. So I would buy them and place them all over my house. So it became a little more visible, you know. And once we started having kids, I literally would just talk to them about angels, and I would just be like, you know, angels are here, angels can help you. When you see the numbers 4, 44, 444, it means that they're with you. When you see pennies on the ground, when you see feathers. So, you know, talking about angels was like talking about, what did we have for dinner last night? It just became like our regular way of conversing. And so, it's funny because I mentioned, you know, my oldest is 15 and a half, my youngest is 11, and I have a daughter in the middle that's 13. And so the boys are not so outwardly spoken about angels anymore, but they both play soccer. And in their jerseys, the numbers that they pick are 4 and 44. So I know, like, they're still kind of like there, even if they're not going to publicly admit it, you know?
Sure. And what about your daughter? Is she a bit more open about it? Because girls tend to be a bit more free with things like that. Do you have a connection with her with regards to that?
Yes, yes. She's a lot more open about it. You know, we can outwardly speak it. She's also more open to here and there, you know, trying a few of the Kundalini yoga meditations or she actually came with me to New York over the summer, and we took one of Guru Jagat's classes together.
Great.
And it was great. It was just so nice to be able to share that with her.
How did she find it? Because I'm always interested in how teens are kind of navigating their spirituality when the doors open for them.
Yeah, I think she enjoys it. I feel that, you know, personally, I would love for her to do it more consistently and more frequently, but I'm not one of those moms that just like shoves things under my kids' throats, you know. So, you know, when she's ready, she knows that it's a doorway that she can open a little bit further to get even more connected.
That's great. How are you finding the podcasting?
Oh, the podcasting. I'm finding it really exciting. Mm-hmm. I love connecting with people, you know, and just being able to find out more about who they are and what inspires them and how do you find, you know, fulfillment and happiness and authenticity in life, you know. So that side of it I'm really loving. The whole like administrative side, like the, you know, having to write all the notes and create all the graphics and everything else, it's like the behind the scenes of a podcast, it's been a little bit more challenging for me.
Yeah, it takes a while to kind of get into the flow of getting the ball rolling and knowing the little bits that need to keep going as well. Like I had a super busy weekend, and usually by kind of like the Saturday, I would have like at least edited the interview, and then I'll kind of do the voiceover over the Sunday or the Monday. Mm-hmm. And this weekend I was just like not in at all. So I found that I was editing the one that went out today, because I got back kind of early evening last night, and I was just like, I'm so tired, I can't do it. And then I was doing it about like 3 o'clock in the morning, just doing the edit as well. So you just kind of find pockets of time. But I've got into like a pattern with it now that I can, it's not that I'm doing it unconsciously, but I can do it without it being, there's a way that I can do it, and I can be kind of like editing in one window and doing the graphics in another and writing the other one, because I'm kind of listening for a flow more than just going in and like, I don't really chop up my interviews mm-hmm. as such. I just kind of let them run, and if something happens that feels unnatural, then I'll know I need to go and look at the audio. Thing is, it's one of those things, it's just the first one is always the nerve-wracking one, the idea, and then taking the idea and kind of like making it real and then telling people that you're going to do it. And then once it's out there, then you're just a podcaster, right? You're just another content creator. And I think it's so exciting that we live in an age now where we can create content, we can speak to people from all over the world, we can get our voice out there, we can get their voices out there, and like you say, get inspired by mm-hmm. other people, because it just kind of lifts us all up, really. It does really keep our vibe going. So yeah. It's very
it's definitely fun and exciting for sure.
And what do you think you'd like to do? How would you like your podcast to grow? What's the vision? I know it's early days, but
I mean, I just wanted to reach as many people as possible, you know, to be able to just to connect with them virtually, and to be able to have them just pause, you know, whether it's for like the 15-minute episodes or the 30-minute episodes, to find a greater sense of connection, you know, with themselves and with this, you know, vibration that we call divinity, and just to feel uplifted and encouraged and feel like they're not alone, and like no matter what it is that someone might be going through in life, you know, because we all have obstacles and challenges and times where we're feeling like super stuck, to know that there's a way out, to know that there's actually more than one way out. It's sometimes, you know, when we're like stuck in the middle of it, it's so hard to figure out, okay, which direction do I turn? Who do I turn for help? What do I do? But it's just to bring hope and a sense of, okay, I can live my dreams in this reality now without having to wait until my life is perfect to take the first step.
And when would it be perfect anyway? What's
that we're
all striving for, this perfection that we never meet, but that's when we get there, then we'll start doing it, we'll launch everything, will happen. Mm-hmm. The never never. So there's a set of questions that I like to ask all the ladies that appear on Her Conversations. Okay. I want to put them to you now. The first one is, what is the best piece of advice a woman has ever given to you?
The best piece of advice I received was from my cousin Vale, who lives in Argentina. That's where I'm originally from. She is 10 years younger than me, but I always had like this really like soul connection with her. It's like we just know each other and we understand each other, even if we're not like in the same country or even talking or connecting all the time. And what she said to me, actually, when I was just starting my business, just starting to do the sessions, to do a little bit of like online like meditations, I was like worried that I didn't have like the right training or that I didn't know everything that I needed to know before starting. And I was like really caught up in my head. And I remember Vale said to me, listen, everything you need is already inside of you. Everything you need, you have inside. Like no outside certification or like knowledge of something is going to give you what you need. So as long as you connect with you, it's going to come out whether you're doing a session or you're doing a guided meditation or you're doing an online program. And I don't know, that was just like great advice. And I keep on hearing that advice in my head every time I'm about to start something new, like this podcast that I'm just launching.
Mm. It's great one, that one, isn't it? And it's great to be reminded, because you forget. You think that you should be searching for all this knowledge before you're prepared again, waiting for perfection. Yeah. And which woman would you say represents higher energetic resonance to you?
So it's a woman that we both know and admire, and that is Guru Jagat. You know, I feel I love her as a person, as a leader, as a teacher. She definitely, you know, she doesn't just teach, you know, from a manual or from, you know, the technology that Yogi Bhajan provided to us. She teaches from her heart. Mm. She really embodies all the qualities of her, you know, in everything she is and everything she does. And what I love most is that she comes from a place of humility, that even though she's so accomplished and she has a huge platform and continues to, I have no idea how she does it, but she continues to like create new programs and do new things.
And just keep always being in a different country on a different side of the world. Yeah.
She travels. I mean, she's really, she's my superhero for sure. So yeah, I believe that it's her.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well. And I think, I know for sure that she was instrumental in her personality, and the way that she taught was instrumental in me kind of really getting involved in Rama and everything that Rama does. Mm-hmm. Because it's her personality that then feeds down to the entire business. And that's not to say that other Kundalini teachers don't have that, but I just like the humor that she has as well, because I'm a person that likes to laugh and I like jokes, you know, and sometimes spirituality, and I think what has put people off spirituality before is the fact that it's felt so serious, and it's just way, and we do all of this and we don't really laugh or anything. We do, but we don't, you know. But it was like, and she's aware of, you know, things that are happening in pop culture, you know, like everyday stuff, because, you know, I still look at all the gossip as well and just see what's happening, not drawn in like before, but I'm still aware of it. And other times when I've done other spiritual things, it's like, okay, we don't look at that. That's negative. That's that. I'm aware of what it is, but you know, it's allowed to, you can talk about it, you can refer to it, because it's what's happening in our world. And it was just a nice way. It was definitely part of her personality and everything that makes up the whole Rama crew that drew me into it. And it's definitely from her in the center, because any business, and you must know this anyway, is just a reflection of the person who's at the core and center of it, you know.
We've absolutely
probably all had bad bosses and things like that, and you realize that's the reason why the company is the way it is, because the boss is weird. And what's your favorite self-care ritual or practice?
So my favorite rituals definitely come from Kundalini yoga. You know, I love starting my morning chanting Japji and then moving into a meditation and mantra and squeezing in at least a 15-minute yoga practice, you know, when I don't have a lot of time.
Is there anything that you're working on in particular at the moment? Any particular meditations or mantras that you're really focused on?
I'm working on a lot of things. so the ones that are like my daily go-tos right now, it's the Gyan Chakra Kriya, you know, working on the magnetic field. I've been doing that for probably like 2 years, and that's one that I do every day. I've also been doing for over a year, the one that everyone is doing at Rama right now, the for protection.
The auric projection.
I mean, projection.
Yeah.
And I've been working on learning the Ajay LA mantra and try to listen to it at least once or twice a day and working on all the lyrics. So I'm almost there. I have a couple more words that are giving me a hard time, but I'm almost there, like fully with the words, but I just love the vibe of this mantra.
Yeah. Isn't it like that when you're learning a mantra and that then there'll just be like one tiny little bit sometimes at the end of like a line in the middle that you always just can't get right. So you have to keep going round and round it. But yeah, it's great fun to learn. What's coming up for you next? What are you creating?
So the podcast Live Your Happy Now is one of my babies that is being birthed into the world as we speak right now. So I'm devoting a lot of my time and energy for it right now. And my next creation to be, it's actually a portal to be like a sisterhood, you know, virtually for women to connect online and just find a sense of support, a sense of upliftment and understanding. And I'm just coming up with all, it's not me really. Let's say the angels are downloading all kinds of ideas, you know, on things that we can incorporate in the portal, you know, like mantras and meditations, but also it feels that actively creating things together will be a very big component of this portal.
Oh, so much fun. Well done. It sounds exciting. Mm-hmm. Keep us posted. Yeah. So where can everybody find you online? What are your addresses and handles and things?
Sure. So my website is veronicaparker44.com, and you can come over there. You can get a few free guided meditations as well as e-guides. And you can also find me online on Instagram at Live Your Happy Now. And Facebook is veronicaparker-44, I believe.
So the angels are definitely with you still.
They're definitely there. Yes.
Perfect. So I just want to say thank you very much, Veronica, for coming on to Her Conversations and adding your inspirational voice to the voice of all the many women that are building this up. And as one podcaster to another, I'll just say it's like one of the most fulfilling, exciting things that I do. For all the work that I might kind of like grumble a little bit that I have to do, I wouldn't swap it out. I think I'd be really lost if I wasn't doing this. So I can only wish that you have as much enjoyment from your podcasting journey than that I'm getting from mine.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, Carol, for having me on your show and for really inspiring so many women that are listening to you every week, you know, to just really embody the her in their lives, you know. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Perfect. Thank you. Satnam.
Satnam.
Many thanks to you, Veronica, for joining me on another episode of Her Conversations, and thank you at home for listening. You can discover more about me and the Her Project by visiting my website, which is carolmaywhittick.com. That's carolmaewhittick.com. Also find me on Facebook under the same name, and my handle on Instagram and Twitter is Kazmik, C-A-Z-M-I-C-K. So until the next episode, enjoy your week. Bye.